This Christmas season, families we know face livelihood trials. Everyone seems to be talking about the spiking costs of heating oil. When the Carlson's heating technician was working on our church furnace, he told how he was trying to buy cheap oil just to keep his wife and his young baby warm this coming winter. And then most Americans have thought that until now the financial equity that they have in their homes is the cornerstone of their wealth. But that's all changing with the subprime mortgage mess. As you know, a number of lenders lended out money to people who really were not able to pay, and they built up many loans on the adjustable rate mortgages. And since those rates after the first year start to climb, people started to default, and it's affecting the economy. Some have talked about a possible recession, although lately economists don't think that that's going to happen. However, it's beginning to affect people who are innocent homeowners. They say in the city of Detroit, so many homes are for sale because they're going into foreclosure, that people who have either paid their homes off or who are not delinquent on their homes are finding their home values sinking because they're in a neighborhood where there's so many foreclosures. And that, of course, affects the retirement portfolios of many people. Many people have come to depend upon their homes for the cornerstone of their retirement savings. And then this sermon was actually built for last Sunday, so this is 2 Mondays ago. On the ABC Evening News, anchorman Charles Gibson presented the story of the escalating costs of medical treatment in our country and how it's stressing families. And on Thursday, my wife and I stopped by the Slate home. This is Thursday, not last Thursday, but 2 Thursdays ago, on another errand, only to learn that Michelle, who is a young mother of several children, had been told at an area hospital the previous night that she had suffered a heart attack. Well, they made a trip down, this is when we had the snowstorm, the next day, Friday, down to the Waterbury Hospital, and thankfully found out that it was a false alarm. We're very grateful that that was a false alarm. But it underscored the possibility that, you know, people can run into severe medical problems relatively early in age. You know, Michelle's only in her 30s, a mother of these children and so forth, and that can drastically affect the whole family. And a lot of people today do not have health insurance, and so the costs are actually prohibitive for them. And so a lot of people can become really strapped, especially during the Christmas season, financially strapped. So in view of the livelihood challenges our families face this Christmas season, we ask, what can we do to address these needs as God would suggest? The bulletin insert reads, with our family's livelihood at risk on several fronts this Christmas, how does God want us best to respond and why? We're in Matthew chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at the passage. Matthew chapter 2 this morning, verses 11 through 15. And I'm stunned as I look at this passage in depth and see how God provided financially for that family of Mary, Joseph, and the infant, the Lord Jesus Christ, that first Christmas in this passage. In verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Mary and Joseph were at real financial risk that first Christmas in their flight into Egypt. The couple was vulnerable to financial failure in its flight into Egypt. Mary offered birds in her postpartum cleansing in Luke chapter 2, 22 to 24. In fact, it says there were 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves. That she gave, and she had to give this in accordance with the Leviticus chapter 12, 4 through 6. We haven't quite come to that passage on our Wednesday evening service, but in that passage it says that 33 days, I believe it is, after a mother had given birth to a son,
she had to offer a sacrifice, a ritual cleansing for her upon delivering this child. And of course, that was after Jesus himself had already been circumcised. He would have been circumcised on the eighth day. That happens to be when vitamin K in the blood of a male is at its highest level in its entire lifetime. And vitamin K is used as a clotting agent. It's interesting, the eighth day. And that's when God, it doesn't happen with the female, it happens only with the baby boy at the eighth day. And God has designed this for this in mind. So, this heeded Leviticus chapter 12, where she could have offered a lamb. But since she offered birds instead of a lamb, it demonstrated that she was poor. In fact, the offering of birds was given specifically to allow the poor to do this. Now, if they were that poor, that means that, of course, they didn't have the gifts from the Magi yet. But they were impoverished. Now, for this poor couple to have gone 60 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census, only there to learn that they had to flee another 180 miles into Egypt and stay there for an uncertain time until God told them to return, as Matthew 2:13 reveals, would have been a financial hardship. I know how hard it is for people who don't have the means just to travel, let's say, to Pennsylvania or to New Jersey to visit with relatives on Christmas. But can you imagine getting there and being told, oops, got to go to Florida? I mean, there are meals on the way, there are motels to stay in, and so forth. And Mary and Joseph were supposed to go down into Egypt, and you'll notice the angel said, stay there till I bring you word. How's that? How's that long of that? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks? Who knows? He couldn't get a job down in Egypt because he didn't know how long he was supposed to be there. There was just a tremendous amount of uncertainty. So that would have been a financial hardship. Then the health of Mary and Joseph would also have been at risk. The couple would have suffered significant stress in their flight. Having to leave Bethlehem by night in winter, and I get this out of Dr. Harold Hunter's book, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ, to save the infant Messiah's life from a tyrannical King Herod and flee to Egypt when this move would be financially risky would have been very stressful on this family. I don't know if you're familiar with the weather in Israel at this time of the year, but it's beginning to get into a rainy season. And of course, the rainy season is very cold and rainy, and sometimes there can be a little bit of snow that can fall right there in the area around Jerusalem. And for a young mother, who's Mary would have been about 15 years of age at the time, Joseph maybe 20 at the oldest, and for that couple to go another 180 miles, and they might have had a cart or a donkey or something, with this newborn, 180 miles in that type of weather. You know, we're talking many, many days of travel. That would have been difficult. And it would have been stressful for them because they didn't have any money. They didn't have the means to make the journey. What were they going to eat? Where were they going to stay? They needed to have quarters that they could rent or something to get out from the rain and so forth. Well, also, later learning of Herod's killing of Bethlehem's infants, whose parents had personally honored Jesus in Luke 2, would have caused Mary and Joseph to grieve deeply at their loss. We notice that down, if you look ahead in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, that Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was very angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts, or all the little hamlets around it, from 2 years of age and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, Mary and Joseph could have heard about this very easily from Jews who continued to travel down into the area of Egypt. And this would have grieved them deeply. Because remember, a number of these people had been awed at the birth of Jesus because they had heard the report of the shepherds. And in Luke 2, the shepherds had made known the news of the angel's appearance to them throughout the entire countryside. So this would have been a very stressful situation. Now, the drain of such stresses on their immune systems, the cold, wet, wintry February climate of their flight, and we're going to find out that it was around February when they actually had to flee, the postpartum recovery needs for Mary and Jesus, their sleep deprivation and making such an unexpected, rapid, uncomfortable long trip would have left the whole family vulnerable to flu and infection. We know it's February because there's plenty of evidence that Jesus actually was born on December 25th. I know the Archbishop of Canterbury denies that and so forth, but there's tremendous evidence that one of the earliest church fathers said that he was born on December 25th, even though that happens to be the Roman holiday of Saturnalia, it's irrelevant. Jesus actually was born then. But if you allow 33 days for the ritual cleansing of Mary after the added 8 days of Jesus' circumcision, then you have the arrival of the Magi. The flight, just after the Magi had left, the flight would have occurred in February at the height of the bad rainy season. And you can imagine, here's a 15-year-old mother with her firstborn wrapped in what kind of a shawl or something, and it's raining, and she has to make a 180-mile trip. That's hardship, and that would have been stressful. It would have stressed them there in regards to their immune systems.
Well, Mary and Joseph, however, had yielded to God's will in their lives. When God's angel had announced to Mary that she would bear the Son of God, she accepted the assignment, yielding to God's will. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, 35 to 38, she said, "Be it unto the handmaid of the Lord, as you have said." And then when God's angel told Joseph not to fear to take Mary as his wife, she was with child by the Lord, he obeyed. So both Mary and Joseph had obeyed the Lord. Now, because they had obeyed the Lord, since this was also God's will for them to go to Egypt, it was God's responsibility to give them all that they need financially to make the trip. One of the great missionaries in the history of the church, Hudson Taylor, is a missionary to China, always used to say that the grace of God will God will never guide you to go to a place to minister if His grace will not also provide for you in the process. So he firmly believed that God would provide for him. That's why he went to China. He had no support, no help. And God saw to it that he could lead people to Christ. And now there are approximately 50 to 60 million born-again Christians, at least in China. And they estimate another 5,000 are led to Christ every day in China. And it started with that man's ministry. Well, these people were obedient to the Lord. Mary and Joseph were obedient to the Lord, so the Lord came through. God supplied what they needed to do His will in Matthew 2:11-15, the passage that we had in front of us this morning. Before fleeing to Egypt, Mary and Joseph received gold, frankincense, and myrrh from the Magi in honor of Jesus. I think this is remarkable. If they had to pay taxes at the census, they had to pay it at the low income level before they get this income. Isn't God slick? He just comes in there. Mary, all she has to do is buy a couple of doves. She doesn't have to buy the lamb. Then afterward, God gives them this windfall. God is so gracious, just like Mike says. He's very gracious. So before fleeing to Egypt, Mary and Joseph received gold, frankincense, and myrrh from the Magi in honor of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you view these gifts, we see the precision with which God had worked to lead the Magi to offer exactly what the family needed for their trip. Now, the Magi would not just give regular gifts. When we go to California to visit with my family and we give gifts to them, we like to take things like pewter that's made here in Connecticut, or maybe nutmeg. I haven't taken nutmeg yet. But we love to take maple syrup that comes from Burlington because that's close to the area. If they packaged and sold maple syrup that came from New Hartford, I'd take that. We like to take a little bit of a sample of New England. And the people back there in California highly prize this. I don't know if you know this or not, but Macintosh apples go for a hefty sum in Hawaii. The Hawaiians love them. They're coming from New England. I mean, in Hawaii, they can get Golden Delicious, Yellow Delicious, but Macintosh is really kind of rare. So if you're a Macintosh farmer, you know, there's a big market over there in Hawaii. So these Magi gave specimens of the products of their own country. And they gave them to signify their homage to the newborn king. So God had arranged for the Magi's nations to produce precisely those products at the time so they would be given to Jesus. Now the value of the gifts of the Magi in regards to assisting the family in its flight into Egypt is immense, as follows. Regarding the stress of the family and what it would face, the frankincense was useful in countering anxiety, tension, and hyperventilation. This comes from Anne McIntyre, who is a professional, and she's written a book, The Complete Woman's Herbal. Regarding the risk of infections and flu, the myrrh was useful in countering chest infections, colds, flu, catarrh, which is basically a runny nose, sinusitis, sore throats, mouth infections, digestive problems, diarrhea, lowered immunity in general, and the frankincense was useful in countering the runny nose, the catarrh, respiratory infections, laryngitis, asthma, fevers, and urinary tract infections. These are all problems that they could have had. And God created these elements and provided them for the family. Now, how about Mary's postpartum recovery needs? Both the myrrh and the frankincense were useful for healing various infections and wounds that could result from childbirth. There might have been some tearing, especially with the delivery of the firstborn child and so forth. The frankincense and myrrh came in very, very handy for that. Now, how about the family's financial needs? Gold, in Jesus' day, just as it is today, is a universal medium of exchange. And I would imagine kingmakers, as the Magi were, when they gave gold, they weren't just given $20. You know, we're probably looking at $15,000 to $20,000 worth of gold from these men. Because they were hoping, we have found out since, they were hoping that they might motivate the Jews actually to set up a Jewish king, which they would have preferred to Herod. Another reason why Herod would have been very, very upset. But anyway, they gave the gold. Gold was a universal medium of exchange that could support the family in its 2 months of rest in Egypt until Herod died. According to Harold Honer's book, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ, and he did this book in conjunction with his doctoral dissertation at Cambridge University in England, and with the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, we know when Herod died. He died sometime between March and April in, I think it was 4 B.C., and Jesus would have been born in December 25th, 5 B.C. So there was approximately about 6 weeks to 2 months of stay in Egypt. So basically they had a 6 weeks to an 8 week vacation paid for by the Lord. And that way they could rest from all the stress of what they'd gone through, and they could build up their immune systems and everything else. So God then told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus into Egypt, meaning that God wanted Joseph to lead as the husband of Mary and head of the household and using their resources. Did you notice that? In Matthew chapter 2, after Mary and Joseph come together, the angel of the Lord no longer talks to Mary. He talks to Joseph. Why? Because Joseph's the head of the family. So he talks to Joseph and he says, you're the responsible head. You take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and you be there. So Joseph went ahead and he would have used the resources of the gifts of the Magi to support them. The implication is that God wants the man, the head of the home, to be the financial clearinghouse, the say-so as to how the money is supposed to be handled. That's the man's responsibility. It's interesting, Genesis chapter 2, 20 to 25, God created a man. There was no helpmeet for him. So then God made a woman out of his rib. And then God brought the woman to the man. Why did he do that? God had been bringing the animals to the man to see what man would name them. He wanted him to name her. And in that culture, when you name someone, you demonstrated sovereignty over them. So God wanted the husband to be sovereign in reference to his wife. And this is exactly what God is doing here. He's talking to Joseph. Because Joseph is sovereign in relationship to Mary and Joseph and the care of the family. Then, in accordance with God's timing of their receiving the gifts, Mary and Joseph used them for this trip. They didn't use them for other things. They didn't buy a Maserati or a Porsche. Of course, they didn't make them at the time. They didn't go to the Cayman Islands. They didn't go to St. Martin or anything. They went to Egypt because that's what God wanted them to do as a family, and they stayed there. So the lesson is, since Mary and Joseph had heeded God's calling in their lives, he supplied all they needed to fulfill their callings, implying it be used under the lead of the head of household, Joseph, and saved for their emergency trip into Egypt versus expended for unnecessary items. Now, there's a big lesson in regards to this and how God meets our needs, especially at Christmas time. If we face family livelihood needs, we need to align with the will of God and trust in Christ as our Savior. Then, we need to heed God's will in our marital and family roles and see Him supply all we need to fulfill His assignments there. When God supplies what we need, may we save or invest it for essentials that we need in doing His will, finding each need met, and use it under the oversight of the rightful biblical leader that is involved. Now, I've got an illustration to give you. I think it's apropos because it deals with the gift that you as a church family gave to my family last Christmas. I don't know if you recall it or not. You gave us a huge gift. It was $6,000. And we were stunned. I think that's the way Mary and Joseph must have felt when they saw these kingmakers, and they're poor people, bowing, and they're giving these very expensive gifts, probably worth maybe a total of $50,000 or $60,000 in our money today. This would have been an astounding gift. Well, we felt overwhelmed at the time. My wife talked it over amongst ourselves as to how we were supposed to spend this. Now, we had some immediate needs, and so we spent some of the money on those immediate needs. Is a little less than half of that, leaving a little more than half. Now, there are long-term needs. You know, there's a driveway that I have. Eventually, it's going to have to be repaid. Someday, I would love to get my house recited. And there are all sorts of long-term, but now we're talking serious money. And the rest of the money we had wouldn't really have addressed any one of those, so we decided to invest it. So we did. We invested it. And one of the funds in which we invested it Blossom, I think it went up to like 77% this year. So what happened is we ended up with an amount of money that is equal to 3 months' salary worth, and we've decided to keep that aside as a cushion. Now, that's where you came in. Remember a number of years ago, we ran into difficulties at church where for one reason or another, our salary checks were not able to come to us on time. And that created a little bit of attention. People were bothered about that and concerned about that. Well, now we have 3 months' supply, so that if another situation arises like that, we have backup. And we're hoping that that can take the pressure off of you as a church family, so nobody gets hurt by this whole situation. And we're amazed at how the Lord's used it. See, the Lord gave a huge gift to Mary and Joseph because He wanted them to use it for their flight to Egypt. And we've taken the cue from the Lord. He gave us that huge gift because He wants us to use that for a genuine need. It's never just for blowing. Whenever God allows a huge amount to come, He allows it to come because He wants it to use us, wants us to use it and to use it wisely. So we do now have a financial shield that will not only serve our personal family needs, but it will take pressure off you as a church family. Were there to be a financial crisis in the body, this rainy day fund will give time to adjust without producing undue hardship on anybody. So there's a lesson. May we trust in Christ to be saved and then yield our lives to do His will. Then when God supplies gifts or services to meet our needs so that we can do His will, like Mary and Joseph, may we prudently use them following biblical guidelines as to how to use them to meet the needs that equip us to fulfill the assignments that God has given us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful for the privilege that You have given us to fellowship one with another this morning and for the break in the weather so that we can actually meet here this morning. And Father, I know that at this time of the year when so much money changes hands, there's a lot of money that is spent. Many times people build up debts and go into debt because of Christmas gifts and so forth. Or sometimes there are hardships. There are financial hardships, maybe health problems, problems with the job and so forth that are built up in conjunction with the Christmas season. And it's a very difficult time for people to handle. I pray, Father, that we would first of all align ourselves with Your will. If we need to receive Christ as Savior, if we need to submit to His will in our lives, I would ask that they would do that. But then as You provide the funds, may we, instead of just using it as an opportunity to spend, may we use it wisely, looking ahead for the needs that we will have, that will arise, that You know will arise, so that, like Mary and Joseph, we can use the Magi's gifts properly in order to take care of our actual needs, that we might enjoy a peaceful and a restful and a joyful time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.